It's always an honor to be with you every time. I feel like the Holy Spirit's really at work. I really do. I'm sitting here just watching this service unfold, and it was interesting, the Sunday school lesson. The only problem I had, Dave, is you left us hanging, you know, about whether Romans 7, that man that was, you know, frustrated about, he wanted to do what he could, but he couldn't do it, and so on. Woe is me. Is it that guy, or is it the overcomer? And he's waiting till next week to tell us. So I send a text. Thank you. I always ask the Lord what He wants me to talk about. I'm blessed by just being able to be with you and to be a witness to what I think the Lord wants to say to all of us. Okay. we read John chapter 1, which is the first 14 verses. I'd like to read it to you in the Phillips. I think it just says it so beautifully. At the beginning, God expressed Himself. That personal expression, that word, was with God and was God, and He existed with God from the beginning. All creation took place through Him, and none took place without Him. In Him appeared life, and this life was the light of mankind. The light still shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. I told the elders this morning, I thought, you know, the light, it seems like the light's getting lighter, and the darkness is getting darker in our world today. A man called John was sent by God as a witness to the light, so that all who heard his testimony might believe in the light. This man himself was not the light. He was simply sent as a witness to that light. And I could put your name in there. I could put my name in there. Because we're really 21st century Johns, aren't we? A person named Doug, put your name in there, was sent by God as a witness to the light, so all who heard his testimony might believe in the light. This man, was not himself the light. He was simply sent as a witness to that light. And isn't that our calling? And I want to reflect on a little bit of that this morning. That was the true light which shines upon every man, which is now coming into the world. He came into the world, the world He'd created, and the world failed to recognize Him. He came into His own world. His own people would not accept Him. Yet wherever men did accept Him, He gave them the power to become the sons of God. These were the men who truly believed in Him, and their birth depended not on natural descent, nor on any physical impulse or plan of man, but on God. And so the Word of God became a human being and lived among us, and we saw His glory, the glory like that of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. It was about Him that John stood up and testified, exclaiming, here's the one I was speaking about when I said that although He would come after me, He would always be in front of me. He existed before I was born. Indeed, every one of us has shared in His riches, and there is a grace in our lives because of His grace. Isn't that true? Lord Jesus, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our heart bring honor to Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. I was telling the elders, I had an experience yesterday. You know, when God speaks to us in different ways, and I was down in Olympia for the governor's prayer breakfast, and about a week before, I was praying about that time, and the Lord brought to mind a next-door neighbor that I grew up with. He was my age, and I haven't seen him for 55 years, okay? So I did what any of us would do. I Googled his name, okay? And to my absolute astonishment, okay, his name came up with his address and phone number. I hope mine doesn't do that, but anyway. And guess what? I was in Washington, D.C. at the time. Guess where he lives? Tumwater, Washington. So isn't it fun to follow Jesus? You know, you just so I I communicated. When I got there, I waited till Thursday night or Friday, and I called the phone number and asked if this was the home of Steve Schroeder. Yes, it is, and his wife answered the phone, and we visited for a while. I said, well, I'm Doug Burley, and she goes, oh, my goodness. I guess in the 44 years they've been married, my name had been mentioned a few times. I don't know in what context. That worries me a little, but anyway. And yesterday I met Steve and his wife. Wow. I'd love to say I led them to Jesus. I don't believe that happened. But you know what was my mission there? It was, I'm not the light, am I? I'm simply bearing witness to the light. And I didn't try to convert Steve and his wife. What I'm trying to do is convert myself, and I'm finding that is a huge job, okay? But I did bear witness to Jesus, and it was a delightful time. And afterwards, I got a text from him and said, hey, thanks for taking the time to be with us. And I thought, you know, isn't that the great privilege that all of us have, okay, is because of him and who he is, we have the privilege to go out and be with others. And I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I'm feeling a little insecure about this because of what the Lord told me this morning. What I felt he told me is I'm saying, well, Lord, what do you want me to say about that? And he said, talk about yourself and your struggles doing that. I'm thinking, no. That's a wrong transmission. I Lord, what do you really want? He said, talk about your own struggles, your own journey in doing that. So that, I guess that's what I'm going to do for a few minutes, okay? I guess what I love is the fact that all of us are on a journey and we're trying to understand what does it mean to follow Jesus, to be led by him. Jerry, I don't know if you remember this song that we used to sing in Young Life. It was called The Word, and I can't remember all the words. And Dave, maybe you remember this. But some of the lines go, and the Word became a man, and he dwelt upon this land. For he showed us what God is like. He turns existence into life, having spoken through the Word. You remember that song? Yeah, I can't remember all of it, but I kind of humorously, the picture I have of that is, you know, at Young Life camps, we have a say-so, and that's where the last night we give kids a chance to, according to a psalm, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I'm at Frontier Ranch. This is 1980, in June of 1980, and it's the night that we're going to have a say-so, okay? And so I'm up there, and we're singing a few songs, and this is the last song before I'm going to give kids a chance to say so. And in the back of the room, a fight had broken out between some kids, and Bruce Quay, who was the work crew boss, is trying to referee the fight that's going on. And I'm thinking, I don't know if we're quite ready for the say-so here, but, you know, it's going on, and the Word became a man. And I'm seeing these guys back there just, you know, pushing each other and stuff. So that's the picture I have. Probably not that helpful to share that. But anyway, but I thought maybe it is because here we are, and we're light in a dark world, aren't we? We're not the light, but we're sent to bear witness to the light. And what did Jesus say in Matthew 5? Is he said, I'm the light of the world in John 8:12. But he said in Matthew 5, you are the light of the world, right? A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It says, let your light so shine in the eyes of men that they'll see your good works. And what will they do? Glorify who? Yeah, they'll glorify your Father who is in heaven. So I don't know what happened yesterday in Tumwater, but I came to bear witness to that light, and I pray that maybe there was a little deposit that was left there of his light. I want to read you a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This priceless treasure we hold, I'm starting at 4:7. We hold, so to speak, in common earthenware jars to show that the splendid power of it belongs to God and not to us. We are hard pressed on all sides, but we're never frustrated. We're puzzled, but never in despair. Pretty good description, isn't it? We are persecuted, but we're never deserted. We may be knocked down, but never knocked out. Every day we experience something of the death of Jesus, so that we may also show the power of the life of Jesus in these bodies of ours. Yes, we who are living are always being exposed to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be plainly seen in our mortal lives. I love that. You know, it's sort of that whole journey. Here we are, we're sinners, but we're also bearers of the light. Okay? So I felt like what the Spirit told me is share with them some of your struggles in the midst of that journey. So I will. Okay? Couple of things. Some of you I've mentioned to you that not of my own choosing, but, last July 16th, a woman named Maria Butina was arrested by the FBI and put in prison, accused of being a Russian spy. 5 or 6 days before that, I'm at the Cedars in Washington where I work, and I get a call from the FBI. It's not a good day when you get a call from the FBI usually, but they called and asked if they could come over and visit with me. Absolutely, come on over. And, you know, it was two guys and a gal, very nice people. You know, and they came into the Cedars, which is a beautiful 7-acre property just 10 minutes from the Capitol, and they're looking around just thinking what a beautiful place this is, but they did have another mission. They had some questions they wanted to ask me. And I was told, have somebody else there with you taking notes on everything. And I noticed when they began to ask me questions, their heads went down and they were writing everything I was saying. First question was, do you know Maria Butina? I said, yes, I do. And for the next hour, they asked me all these different questions, so on. And it was a very cordial time, and we finished, and I thought, well, I hope that's kind of the end of that. But 2 weeks later, I get an email from the Senate Intelligence Committee, and they're asking for all my emails about Russia the last 4 years. And it was a pretty healthy stack of them. And by the way, that's kind of been it. It's kind of been silent since then. I had to get an attorney, and that costs a little bit of money, and God bless a friend who stepped forward to help with that. But that's kind of been it, except the press just went to work on it. And it's amazing the stuff they came up with. I read in amazement all the things that are written. You know, I may have mentioned to you, I Google my name just to find out, you know, kind of what's going on, you know, and there's all kinds of articles. I had no idea that I go to Russia to promote an anti-gay agenda in agreement with Putin and what he's doing, and that we've got this network all over the place. And, you know, you read this stuff and just think, where did they come up with this? just about a week or two ago, I get a call from a good friend, Chris Halverson, and he goes, boy, have you read this article by the Young Turks? I don't know who the Young Turks are, but they're real busy, and they know a lot about me, and I read this article. I mean, it's a huge article, you know, of all the stuff that I'm doing, you know, in cooperation with these Russians. And the fella that wrote it has never met me. I've never talked to him, but he had got a lot of information. And I think a lot of you know that there's certain public information. Any nonprofit has a 990 form, you know, that they fill out. And he grabs some of the information on the 990 form of the foundation I work for, and it's just amazing what he did with it. You know, I'm supporting all these Russians coming to the prayer breakfast. I've never given a dollar toward a Russian coming to the prayer breakfast. But you read it, you know, and immediately, you know, you can kind of feel kind of angry about it. And I'd like to use an illustration of, anybody here play ping pong? Is I think there's a ping pong match going on in my life, okay? And the ball, you know, I mean, justifiably upset about being misrepresented. You know, I hit that ball back, and back comes to me Romans 12:14, where it says, as to those who, Phillips translates, make your life a misery, bless, don't curse. Bless them. So on the way back, it's Lord Jesus, bless Jonathan. You know, this guy that's writing this stuff, bless so-and-so, bless a host of people that have written a bunch of things. I was asked to step back from the work I'm involved in, anything up front this year. I actually found out that was a blessing. You know, being up in front, it's overrated, you know. But I just found I had a lot more time to do things that were really important, to meet with a lot of different friends and so on. So I felt like there's a ping pong match going on, you know, as you get another thing that would come and you have a reaction to it. And then you open the scripture and see how we should respond to it. Back to you. Here it comes again, back to you. And so I feel like I'm involved in a ping pong match that way. And I would look at it now and say, I'm really blessed. I really am. I'm not running for president. So all these things that are written, it's okay. I think if I ran into some of these people that have written this stuff, my first question would be, friend, is there anything I can do for you? It's funny what happens when you play ping pong with Jesus, you know, and he hits back to you his thoughts and his word. What does it say? For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. This is Isaiah 55. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, in my ways than your ways. And then it goes on, it says, as the rain and snow come down, watering the earth, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so my word that comes from my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. So I just encourage you, play ping pong with Jesus. Okay? Really. It's just amazing what he sends back to you in his word. And I have to say, I love Jesus more for walking through this whole thing. I really do. I realize, you know, they got one thing right. I'm a sinner. Okay? They didn't get a lot of the details right about the sin, but they got that right. So, anyway, that's one way I'm playing ping pong with Jesus. Okay, I'll give you one more. We have four kids. Each one of them have four kids. we feel really blessed. All of them are following Jesus. But by the way, we have four in-laws. I call them in-loves, okay? But about 15 months ago, our daughter-in-law, I'm not sure of all the details, but she decided that she didn't want to be married anymore to our son. And she comes from an evangelical family. Her father was a retired pastor. At least from our perspective, what happened was the route that they chose to go was to demonize James, our son, to say a whole lot of things about him that, I mean, he's a sinner too, but I don't think they're true. And to hire a very high-priced lawyer. And so for the last 15 months, we've been walking through that. Every weekend, he gets the kids. There's four of them. The oldest is 11. The youngest is 5. They love their mom, and they love their dad. And it is really painful to walk through this. And I'm playing ping pong again. Okay, is I find myself so upset when I hear some of the things that have been said and done and so on, and I hit that ball across, and it comes back to me again, and I learn more and more. Love is a person, isn't it? Isn't he? God is love. The one who dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. A little later it says, the one who says he loves God but hates his brother is a liar. For how can he love God whom he has not seen when he can't love his brother whom he has seen? So I'm playing ping pong. And the attorneys tell you, don't talk to the other party, and so on. So that went on for about 10 months or so, and a few weeks ago, I'm reading a really good book about Jesus, and I just felt like, boy, I haven't talked to my daughter-in-law for a long time, and I just sat down and I sent her an email, and it was a love letter. I told her I loved her. I don't agree with what's going on right now, but I love you, and I pray for you, and I pray for your family, and so on. It was a couple of paragraphs, that. And I'm getting ready to hit send, and I realize that my son and my wife have told me, don't communicate. You know, the attorneys say don't do that. So I hit send. A couple days later, I get a phone call from my daughter in love. It's a wonderful conversation for 3 or 4 minutes. And I told her again, I love her. I don't agree with what you're doing, but I love you. And I'm praying every day for you, for your family, for these four kids who love their mom and love their dad. We've got a trial coming up here in another month. It's supposed to go 6 or 7 days, you know. It's bankrupting virtually everybody in the process. It's really painful. And I'm playing ping pong, okay? And as I do, I'm learning a whole lot about Jesus, about forgiveness, about my own tendency to be judgmental and critical, okay? But I'm playing ping pong with Jesus. By the way, He wins every time. So those are a couple things for me in the midst of this journey where, you know, we're called to be witnesses to the light. You know, it's complicated, isn't it? So I think what the Lord said to me is just tell the friends that. I don't know how all this stuff's going to turn out. But I do know who wins that ping pong match in the end. Okay. He told us, didn't he? You know, he's overcome the world. We're in the process right now, and sometimes the journey is complicated and painful and difficult. And I know if each of you got up and shared your story, but I'd encourage you to do something. Play ping pong with Jesus. Okay. Hit it back to him, but be authentic. Tell him what you feel, the hurt, the anger, and so on. And then listen. He talks back. He does. It's always about love. Every single time. It's always about forgiveness. Jerry and I and a few others were at the governor's prayer breakfast this last Friday in Olympia. The guy that gave the keynote was a Rwandan. You know about the genocide. 1 million people killed in 100 days. Toward the beginning of his talk, he put a little slide up on the thing, and he's kept it up there. 35 family members of his, 32 of which were killed in that genocide. And as he talked, you looked, and you didn't know the three that are still with us, but you assume just about everybody you saw was killed in that horrendous tragedy. And he talked about forgiveness. And I thought, wow. He's in the ping pong match that I have no idea how challenging and difficult that would be. But he talked about why he forgave and what God did in that forgiveness. So I'm looking out here and I realize there are probably some real heartbreaking stories, gut-wrenching, painful situations. But I love Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All things. I want to close with reading a little something to you. Because, you know, we're really called to do this in community, aren't we? And Elton Trueblood wrote a book called, about 1990, called Incendiary Fellowship. And it's just a fabulous book. But I want to get a little quote here from it, because it talks a little bit about our corporate journey as people in the family of Jesus, that we can do this together, that we can play ping pong together. Okay, talk about the game and how it's going and so on. There's no person in history who's impacted all of mankind more than Jesus. Jesus was deeply concerned for the continuation of his redemptive work after the close of his earthly existence, and his chosen method was the formation of a redemptive society. I think I'm looking at a redemptive society today. He did not form an army, establish a headquarters, or even write a book. What he did was collect a few unpromising men and women, inspire them with a sense of his vocation and theirs, and build their lives into an intensive fellowship of affection, worship, and work. One of the truly shocking passages of the gospel is that one when Jesus indicates there's absolutely no substitute for this tiny redemptive society. If this fails, he suggests all is failure, there's no other way. He told the little bedraggled fellowship that they were actually the salt of the earth. And if this salt should fail, there was no adequate preservative at all. He was staking all in one throw. What we need today is not intellectual theorizing or even preaching, but a demonstration, don't we? A demonstration. There's only one way of turning people's loyalty to Christ, and that is by loving others with the great love of God. We can't revive faith by argument, but we might catch the imagination of puzzled men and women by the exhibition of a fellowship so intensely alive that every thoughtful person would be forced to respect it. If there should emerge in our days such a fellowship, wholly without artificiality and free from the dead hand of the past, it would be an exciting event of momentous importance. A society of loving souls, I love this next line, set free from the self-seeking struggle for personal prestige and from all unreality would be something unutterably precious. A wise person would travel any distance to join it. That's why we gather together to be his family and then head out from here and play ping pong with Jesus in the world. That's the hope we have. He never said it would be easy, but what he did say is, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you're willing to play ping pong with us as we struggle, we get angry, we get hurt, we feel all kinds of feelings, that you meet us in the midst of that with your unconditional love, with your words that are the opposite of the world's words, that tell us to bless and not curse. Lord, help us to do that. Help us to walk through the pain and the struggle, the things that seem to not make sense, and they only make sense in the light of your love and grace. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and being with us in the midst of these struggles. In Jesus' name, amen.